God provides. So why do I worry about my life when you come to my rescue a thousand times? Every other voice, it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see.
Good morning to our international partners. Good morning to America. Good morning to our ABM family. We would like to first say we love you, but God loves us best. And we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for joining us this morning. We thank you for coming into the presence of God. It means everything to Him. It means a lot to us as well. God seeks our attention. It's not mandated, but He loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And the attention that we give Him, the time that's spent with Him, it does not go unnoticed. If you pay attention and pay attention to His word, He's asking us to draw closer to Him. How do we draw closer to Him? By waking up, getting on the blog early in the morning before we're starting our day, speaking to him, praying to him, commanding our day, commanding our atmosphere by using the word that came out of the Bible, using the word that he has placed in your heart. God is a God that just is so unconditional, so awesome. His love is endless, that he wants the best for us. He does not want disastrous times. He does not want us to walk around in pain all the time. He does not want us to walk around with a negative attitude. He wants us to walk around with love. Open your eyes. Look around at the earth. Look how beautiful the clouds are. Look how beautiful the trees are. Look at the different colors on the trees. This is what God wants us to see, his beauty. God wants us to experience him by any means necessary. And how do we do that? By just letting him know, Father, you are the head of our life. We need you more and more. Continue to fill us up, Father God. The things that you place into us, Father God, we ask you to replenish us daily, Father God. And Lord, if it's coming out really fast, Father God, replenish us as soon as it comes out, Father. We never want to be without you, Father God. We never want to be outside of your presence, Father God. Although, Father, we fall short of your glory, Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for quickening us, allowing your Holy Spirit to quicken us, Father God, to be back into your presence quickly. And we just say on this morning, get up, rise and shine, because you didn't have to be here today. It is only because God chose you this morning to be here, to start a new day, a new beginning, and realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and to follow him, to obtain his salvation, make him the headship, the lordship over your life, because God is a sovereign God. God is the God of everything. He is Abba, our Father, and he wants us today to go out and have a glorious day, to go out and be able to walk over the obstacles that man might have put in front of us, that all type of little diabolical enemies put before us. But you have been given the weapons to walk over them. You have been given them the weapons to tell them to move out of your face, to move out of your life, and to cast things into the sea. So get up, rise and shine. Start your beautiful day knowing that God is with you. He will never leave you, neither will he forsake you. I don't care if it's 12 p.m. where you're at, it's 4 p.m. where you're at. Get up right now. Take a moment to let God know who he is to you. Let him know what you need for him today and how you need for him to guide you. Get up. It is a new week, a new beginning, a new day, and God is with us. Mother Jackson, if you are on the line, press 1 to give us a prayer, to open us up in prayer.
Good morning. Heavenly Father, first, I give honor to Jesus Christ. He's the head of my life. I give honor to Pastor Chunk. I give honor to the church lady, the teachers, and to you, Daniel. Father God, in the name of Jesus, if I come to you once more, God, to bow down here, I'm going to need God this morning, God, giving you the glory, God. We thank you just for a brand new day, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God. We thank you for your word, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you, God. We come thanking you, God, today. Hallelujah, God. We just have a thanksgiving on our heart, God, because you are worthy to be praised, God. And every day, God, we thank you for touching us this morning, God. Hallelujah, giving us a brand new day that we've never seen before, God. There ain't nothing that we did was so good, God. But you touched us, God, once more, God, giving us another opportunity. Just to praise you, God. Just to come in your presence, God. We thank you, God. We love you today, God. We worship you, God. We giving you all the glory this morning, God. So we say, have your way, God. Head of the say, move us out the way, God, and you come in and have your way, God. Rain down us. Head of us, say us this couple, say this morning. Like never before, God. Oh, God, clean our hearts. Head of us, say, God, our minds, God. Head of us, say, God, yes, Lord. We want to, head of us, say, do your will, God. We want to be kingdom minded. Head of us, say, God. So we ask you this morning, God, give us a makeover. Head of us, say, all over, God, from our head to the crown of our throat, God. In the name of Jesus, everybody say, God, make us strong soldiers in you, God. Everybody say, God, let us walk out of our coming and not be weary in all things, God. Everybody say, God, put peace in our hearts, God, and take that hatred out, God. God, we realize, God, there's no hate in you, God. Nothing but love, Lord, I'm going to say, God, in the name of Jesus, hey, glory to God, watch your day, I'm going to come today, I say, God, today, God, I say, oh, God, thank you today, God, I can't help but to say thank you, God, because I know it's you that's keeping me, not myself, oh, my son, not ever, God, oh, God, thank you today, God, keep me sealed and protected from all things, God, let me, I'm going to come today, I say, God, let me keep my mind stayed on you, God. I know I have perfect peace in you, God. If my mind stayed on you, God, the day, how they will come to me, I say, oh, God, this atmosphere, how they will send them over, say, God, rain down on it, how they will start time. See, come, oh, say, God, come, like never before, open their ears, God, that they may hear your voice, how they will say, God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you this morning. See, come, oh, come to me, I say, God, thank you. Once more, God, in the name of the Father, the Lord, say, God, the Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God, just take a couple of seconds just to give God some praise. Just thank God. Just thank him. Give him the highest praise this morning. Because he is truly worthy to be praised. He is worthy, just worthy to be praised. Open your heart this morning. Renew your mind and allow God to enter in. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you where he wants you to be led. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God. Trust God and just give him his praise. We can never praise God enough. We can never just come to the throne enough. Actually, we need to go a little bit more, especially during this time, this perilous time that we're going through right now. We need God during this time. We need God. But the beauty part of it is that we know that God is preparing a place for us. We know that he's preparing his kingdom. The kingdom is already prepared for us. We just need to get ourselves right. We need to make some transformation need to take place in our lives. And that we have to be willing. We have to be willing because the ability is there. The ability is there. You just have to be willing to make some changes. Be willing to get some things taken off of you. Be willing to continue to go through some growing pains. Because God, it's been taught. It's still being taught that we have to come to God with holiness. God is a holy God. So therefore, we have to come with our best. We cannot come to God half-heartedly. We have to come to God wholeheartedly. And that's the reason. That's the reason, and not just the reason. It's the season that God has for us right now to get ourselves together. To confess, ask for forgiveness, repent, receive his salvation. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you so you can be in a place that you reap the benefits, you reap the promises that God has given you. On last week, we did the fruits of the Spirit. We left out two of the spirits, which is meekness, which could be humility, they're all the same, long-suffering as well. So, which is self-control. Long-suffering is self-control. So we're going to begin this week ending out with those, because it is a it's necessary based on the things that we're being taught. The kingdom, talk in about the kingdom at 8 p.m., kingdom principles, all of these things. All of these things is a necessity. God is not making any type of, he never makes any mistakes, but what he is actually doing right now is making sure that every basis is covered, and it's up to you to say, I'm going to receive it, because the time is being put there, the effort is being put there, and a great sacrifice. And we know that God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, this sacrifice right now, the obedience is both of them being applied. Obedience is there as well as sacrifice. So that makes it even more powerful. You're not lacking one. You're coming with a double blessing. So receive it. Make sure tonight you're online at 8 p.m. So I am going to start off with humility, and my sister Monica is going to do self-control. So we do know humility, and this is, while studying this, a lot of the things that came back to mind was right in my notes. They were in my notes from last. Actually, if you're taking notes, you should be, it shouldn't be be an issue for you, because a lot of the stuff, just reading the scriptures, like I say, the scriptures become live to you. It's like, oh, okay, you know, it becomes live to you. So with that being said, we need to know that humility is one of the most important qualities that we must have. We must have humility. It's not in order for you to even move on to another level to do anything. You must have humility. Humility brings on humbleness. God is a God that he wants us to come to him broken. He wants us to be able to allow his Holy Spirit to build us back up. So we have to come to him with a changed mind, a changed heart. We cannot come to him with arrogance. We cannot come to him with hatred. We cannot come to him with just being having demanding spirits, not caring about whatever people say. My way is the only way. My way is the right way. No, you have to come to God with a broken, contrite, and allow his Holy Spirit to lead you back up. Humility is so important that in Micah 6:8, the scripture says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. He tells us that. And this came from basically in Micah 6, there was a courtroom setting envisioned. And Micah envisioned God being the judge. And he was telling the Israelites during that time everything that they had did against him and others, not just God and others. So as it is in heaven, it is in earth. Just what they did against God and others. So how you act down here while we're here on earth, you're not just acting like that towards God, you're doing it to others as well. And God gave explicit, go back and read it, Micah 6:8. It tells you how God wants you to walk. It says he wants you to do justly, meaning he wants you to be fair. He wants you to love mercy and to walk humbly with him. Not arrogant, humbly with him. It's explicit instruction. Humility is a character trait that takes a lot of time and effort to develop. Apostle Temple has been telling us throughout our teachings that the things that we're learning is not something that's going to happen overnight. It's an effort. You have to apply yourself. You can't start today and then turn. You have to still keep moving forward. When you fall, when you stumble, You can't just sit and lay down there. You have to get up. Not have to, you must. You must get up and keep striving. Don't keep turning back around, because every time you turn back around, you just like those Israelites. You going back in the circle. Your timing, the timing that God knows your timing. He knows when and where and how he wants you and where he wants to meet you at. So the Holy Spirit can develop you and take you to another level. But if you sit and you keep and not picking yourself back up, then it becomes an issue. And James 4:10 tells us, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. This means promotion. Promotion comes before it comes from God. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So therefore, you must have an attitude of gratitude. You must have an attitude of humility. You must have an attitude. I'm not saying shame, because God is not a God that sit and tell you to be shameful of anything that you do. It's a difference. You have to have an attitude of, Father, I am truly sorry for the things that I have done. Please, Lord, help me change. I may can't change by myself because I'm set in my ways. I may can't change by myself, Father, because I might can't see me. Even though I'm looking in the mirror, Father, I may can't see the things that I'm doing. So I need your Holy Spirit, Father God, to show me, to lead me, and to guide me, Lord, because I want you to lift me up in honor, Father God. I want the things you want, you have planned for me, Father God. Lord, if it's a promotion, if it's a promotion on my job, Father God, I want that promotion, Father God. If it's a promotion for me moving out of the project into a home, Father God, I want that. If it means for me to move from one car to the next, Father God. If Father God, if it's even for me to move in your kingdom, Lord Jesus, if you have something else for me in your kingdom, Father God, I want that as well. It states here, it's telling you that God promotes you based on your humbleness. He lifts you up based on how you humble yourself. And there are some men in the Bible, just I like to show examples as well, as who had to go through some situations, and God used them. And a transformation. That's the thing. That's the key word. The key word is transformation. You must have a transformation. And there must be a change in your heart. There must be a change in your mind. There must be a change in your actions. And those things have to be pure and clear. Let's look at David. David, a king. David was a king that sat on the throne, but he also was an adulterer and a murderer. But see, David, in his situation, David went to God, and he told God that he, and I'm going to read, Psalms 51. David says to him, and know this, David was a man of God's own heart. So that right there speaks to himself. David knew he had to repent. He had to change his ways. And during this, during the time that he was going before God, he says, purify me. I'm starting at verse 7, Psalms 51, 7. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. 8, oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Who has broken David? God broke David, because David was in a place where he was willing to allow God to break him. David was tired of walking around feeling sad, feeling sorrowful, feeling like he wasn't worthy, feeling like he just was dirty. Because it says, "Wash me, where I will be whiter than snow." David felt like he was dirty. He felt like he was unworthy. So he realized that he had to go to the man up above, our sovereign Father, our Abba Father, our everything, our more than wonderful, in order to get to where he needed to be. He says in verse 9, don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. David said everything in one mouthful. He asked God to remove his sins. He asked God to bring back his joy. Don't keep looking at his, to remove his guilt. David was feeling some type of way, but he wanted God to renew the loyal spirit, not the half spirit, the spirit that he had been already developed with God before he even committed his sins. He was asking God for a restoration. He was asking God to restore him. And that's where we need to be on today. We have been given the ability, the authority to talk to God and to ask him to restore you from the things from if you failed, if you in a limbo place right now, a place where you don't know if you're coming or you're going. You have the opportunity to tell God to remove the things that you know that may be weighing you down, the things that may be holding you down that's keeping you from going into the place where God wants you to be, from keeping you from making progress to go into where God has already predestined us to be. But the thing of it is, we know that it takes a transformation. We know that it takes obedience. We know that. Paul was a person that sat and he killed people. He did all type of things to people. He was very, very dedicated. He was dedicated to the Sadducees, to the Pharisees. He did his job. He was loyal. He was loyal to the things that he was supposed to be loyal to at that time, and that was persecuting Christians. He was loyal to that. And you know, the thing about it with Paul realized that, and this comes from Philippians 3, verse 4 through 7. He says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own effort, I have even more. He's letting them know, I had even more. No matter whatever you had going on, I had even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. What was placed before Paul, he did not stutter, he did not mutter, he did not move. He did exactly what was told for him. But the beauty part of it is verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. When he sat and he developed his relationship and he obeyed, he changed his mind, he changed his heart. Yeah, he needed some help. That road of Damascus had to help him. Them days of him being blind had to help him realize who Christ was. And God does that. We have that same situation now. We get into situations where we have to be broken down, some things taken away from us. We have to hit rock bottom so we can get to that level of humility so God can sit and realize where our heart is, where our mind is, so he can build us up. And then when he builds us up, we do what he has placed us here on earth to do, go out and spread his good word. Go out and spread his good news. But you're doing it with a pure heart. You're not tainting anyone. You're not sitting and giving falsehoods. You're sitting and you're giving the true word of God. And you're doing it with a gladful heart, no matter what your circumstances or your situation is. You may be sitting in a situation where you feel like something bad is getting ready to happen, but because you realize the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord, and you trusted in him, and you're giving him what it is that you have carrying on your back, and not to mention everybody else putting their loads on your back as well, you're able to sit and realize that God has it already worked out for you. All you need to do is humble yourself. All you need to do is trust God, not lean on your own understanding. Be obedient to his will. Put your not sit and be here today and someplace else tomorrow, because he has put you in a place right now, in a season right now, where he's feeding you. Your belly should be full, and then when you sit and all of that fullness go away, he's feeding you some more. Right now, God is stuffing us. He's stuffing us. And then he's making sure that we don't get choked up with what he's given us, and he's given us his pure living water. He's given us the water to sit and to go with the food to assure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, to assure that we're on the process, on following protocol, following his word, studying day and night, meditating day and night, applying what is being taught so you can get to where he has already put in place for us, and that's the kingdom of God, applying his principles, not your principles, not man principles, but applying God's principles so we can get to where he wants us to be. But we have to be changed. We have to show that we have been humiliated, because that humiliation takes away everything. You have to be exposed. And in that exposure, you ask God, Father, I don't like this. Take it away. Take it away, Father. And then if you continue to keep doing the same thing over and over, and that's because not because God not there to help you, it's because you haven't made a transformation. It's because you choose not to do the things that God has placed before you. And the last person that I would like to speak on before I turn it over to my sister Monica, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He came on earth. He walked as a man. I've read the scripture. I can't sit and say I've obtained everything that I've read, but I've seen one time where he sinned. He came on earth. He came. He died. He died on the cross for you and I, people who are sinners. He died on the cross for us. And during he was nailed, he had a thorn put on his head, spit on. His back was bruised where he was whooped. He had to carry that big old cross up to his place where they had these designated for him to be crucified. And guess what? The scriptures say he never said a word. He never said a word. The words that he said and said before the spirit left out of him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He never said a word throughout the entire time that he was sitting and they were doing the things that they were doing to him. He never complained. That's what I meant when I say he never said a word. He never complained. He sat there. He went through whatever for our mankind, not for him, for us. His humility was for us to sit and be in a place where we can join him in the kingdom, so we can be with our sovereign God, so we can have our royalship like God has intended for us to be. So on today, I charge you all to command your morning by telling God to expose the things that's inside of you. It's not of him, that's not like him, that's keeping you from moving forward in the process, that's keeping you from understanding the things that's being taught to you at 8 p.m. at night. To help you to identify, because God has a new identity for us. It's up to you to sit and to move in it, to walk in it, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to obtain salvation so you can be with him as he sits on the right side hand of the Father. So you too can reap the benefits that God has already predestined for us to have. So I sit and say to you, as I started from the beginning, humility is one of the big, most needed characteristics of God that you need, one of the most important, because a transformation has to take place. You can't come to God, like as David said, take away the stains of guilt from me. Ask God to do the same for you. You want to go to God with a pure heart, a renewed mind, so you can reap the benefits. Over to you, Sister Monica.
Good morning, good morning. And I praise the Lord. I thank God for giving us this word. And he's just expanding on what she said, because he's given me the understanding that he wants me to let you guys know that self-control, temperance, that this Galatians 5:23 spoke on, it's another fruit of the Spirit. It's another side effect of the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to give us the ability to do things that we need to do in self-control. We have to control ourselves. And see, God took me and he said, go to Romans 8:3. And I'm to read from Romans 8:3-10. So if anybody's taking notes, take down Romans 8:3-10, because there's some information there that he's instructing us through Paul. And Paul wrote this, and he's given us a good mind and an understanding of what self-control is about, what long-suffering and temperance is about, what God is wanting from us. So in Romans 8:3, I'll start reading, and it says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent us his own son in a body like the bodies we have, we sinners have. And in the body of God, in that body of God, declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fulfilled and satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to stop there, because the comment I need to make and want to point out that the Holy Spirit is telling me to speak on is that this is where self-control comes in. This is used, self-control is used to allow us to overcome our sins. And see, we must exercise this as a muscle of faith with awareness. We must make a conscious decision to exercise our self-control. See, it's a choice. We have to apply it, and we have to use it wisely. We have to use it with wisdom. We must rise up, and we must protest against what is within us, and that is the protest of us sinning again. We must have an inner protest. We must go within ourselves and no longer be controlled by our sinful nature, like the slaves rising up against the masters that were once enslaving them. And the master that enslaves us is the master sin. And see, when we rise up and protest like we're protesting today in the world, we can rise up and protest within ourselves against that sinful nature that we have. So I'm going back to Romans 8, and I'm going to pick up at verse 5. So those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting our sinful nature control, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God, and it never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit of God living in you, And remember that those who do have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. And that is an awesome thing to know and understand, because this is God's word to us through Paul. And as Paul went ahead and wrote this out for us, it was a sort of instruction. So as we go into what else he had to say about it, well, you got to write down Romans 6:6, because Paul went even more specifically and gave more detail by the Holy Spirit leading him. And it gives us more tools to bring upon that self-control that we need to act in, because, see, this is something we're going to need for the remainder of life. This is a fruit of the Spirit that's going to have to rise up in us, and we're going to have to choose to have this self-control, because this is a power that we're given, and we're going to have to utilize that power, exercise that muscle. So in Romans 6:6, it says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died, he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and to live to God through Christ, through Jesus Christ. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right in the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean that we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you have become slaves of whatever you choose to obey? You may be a sin to slave, which leads to death, or you may choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching that we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have come slaves to righteous living. And I can only say amen to that, because, see, that's God's word, and he summed it up right there for us. It can't get any plainer, people. I just love the way Paul was able to lay that thing out. And see, I read from the New Living Translation. I didn't read from the King James Translation. I read from the New Living Translation. But see, that thing was so plain, and it can't be misunderstood. There is the ability and why and how we can apply that self-control, that temperance, that the fruits of the Spirit is saying that we will develop when we commune with God, when we obey what God has for us. If we live the way God wants us to live, when we're in right standing with him and we live and abide in him, that relationship that we build with him, this is what's going to develop, a self-control that you may be able to control yourself in a situation in the past you probably would have popped off. Now, in today's climate, we all know what protesting looks like, and we know what protesting does not look like. But, see, we got to have that mindset that we're not going to only protest outside of ourselves, but we have an inner protest to not ever be enslaved again to this thing called sin that is no longer our masters, and that we're going to be free of that. And with that peace and knowing that That is so. We're going to strive and we're going to push forward to always control ourselves so that we won't act up in sin, that we won't act against man or God. And that is what self-control is about, people. This is what we must have, and God has given us this gift as well. So utilize your self-control. Exercise that muscle because God loves you, and he gives you the equipment to fight every battle that you have, and self-control has to play a part in that. And that's where we're going to use that muscle because now we know about that muscle. We're going to exercise it, and we're going to walk in it, and we're going to apply it to our lives because that's what's going to give us victory. That's going to give us victory, and that's what's going to please God because, see, God gives us the spirit of truth. He gives us the word, the knowing, the understanding, and he's revealed this to us. So how can we not apply it? How can we not know? Because, see, we've gotten it plain. And I'm going to turn it back over to Sister and leave you guys with, I love you, I love you, I love you. Back to you, Sister.
Amen, amen. And also with self-control, what we need to also know is that everything that we do unto God. So our attitudes and when we get to the point where we get so angry, the word tells us, not to get so angry too. It takes us into a point where we sin, and that piggybacks off of the things that that Monica was saying. I mean, God gives us the tools. We just have to apply them, and then we have free choice. We have a choice. He gives us free choice to either change our ways or to stay stuck in the same place where we're at. And I know that it's not easy with self-control. And that's why we have the Comforter. That's why Jesus left us with the Comforter, his Holy Spirit, that can help us in areas where we need help at, that can help us in areas that we just can't do it by ourselves. It's something, some old things that's rooted down that you just can't get it. A bulldozer can't even get it. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to move things. We need the help when people sit and stab you in your back. You just keep on moving. Don't even look back. Don't look back into the past. Keep moving on because you have a reward before you. The prize is before you. So you can't look back into your past. You may can sit and tell a testimony in it, but you have to have enough self-control to pull yourself up out of that same state and move into another level, move into where God needs you to be. When they sit and people sit and say all type of ugly things and things to you, you have a choice not to sit and say anything. And what you need to learn, because I can only sit and say, is that when people sit and say different things to you, not to sit and get so ugly and out of shape about it, because you know who you are. You know that you are a daughter or a son of Christ. You know that you are an ambassador. You know that you are royal priesthood. So what they say does not matter. It's what God says. It's what God says to you. It's what God says about you. It's a knowing that you know who you are. It's a knowing that you know who your Father is to you. It's all about knowing. And once you can sit and master the art of knowing and apply all the other fruits of the Spirit with you, that self-control will get a little bit easier. Because if you notice, it was the last thing that was written, self-control, because it was a process that you had to go through to get to that self-control. It's a process, and I'm going to say it again. That process is still given to you. That was what was given to them in the Old Testament, the New Testament. What we hear today in 2020, June 1st, 2020, the same opportunities are being given now as they were given before. Don't leave yourself out of receiving what God has for you. Don't sit and have so much pride or so much, oh, I don't need this, I know it. No, you don't. You may have knew what was surface. You may think that you know it, but God is giving you an opportunity right now to understand, being taught, broke down to the things that you do need to know. He's giving you that opportunity. Don't have the same old attitude. He's giving you the light. He's giving you the light. He's the light, Jesus Christ. He's giving it to you. Walk into that light. Walk into it. And do not sit and be stuck in a place that you were yesterday, 5 days, or 10 years ago. Trust God. Walk into that light and know that he is taking you places that you've never been before, places that you can never even imagine. And that's for you to have the fruits of the Spirit and enjoy what God has for you. Tonight, we will be online at 8 p.m., breaking the daily bread. The number that you can chime in on is 385-799-9620. Again, 385-799-9620. Come out, break the bread of life, and reap the benefit that God has designed for you June 1st, 2020. We love you, but God loves you best. Command your attitude, your morning, that you will have a changed attitude, that you will allow God to lead you and guide you, and the fruits of spirit that are within you will shine. What's internally will come out and manifest externally. So have a blessed day. We'll see you tonight at 8 p.m. and then again at 7 a.m. in the morning. We love you. God bless. I don't have much.